What makes real estate investors successful? It's not the amount of money they have on their bank account, neither the number of podcasts or courses they have taken. In this episode, we're going to dissect the top five underrated habits real estate investors have that you can duplicate and start implementing today.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andrea Segadelli. Liz, so let's get started here because we don't have a lot of time. And if you're listening to us, you also don't
have a lot of time.
Number one is being prepared. They are always prepared. But what does that really mean? Well, to me, Andressa, that means having my shit together. That's simple as that. Right. But I understand that that might show up differently for people with different personalities. So let's dissect that. And how does that show up?
Absolutely. So for everyone listening, I want you to think about yourself for a moment. And I want you to think about what comes up for you when I say these two words, task oriented versus people oriented. And typically people are one or the other, Andressa, right? And so between the two of us, right, you're what?
Task.
Yeah, you're focused on task. I'm focused more on people. So what does that look like? Task-oriented people.
That you're the nice one.
No, they're not. They're nice once you get to know them. They're going to be a little more detail-oriented. They're going to be more interested in facts over just opinion. They kind of get to the root cause of an issue, right? They get through the noise, if you will. So facts, data, information tends to be what it looks like for a task-oriented person to be prepared. Someone who's people-oriented, listen, they need to also have details and facts. You know, they can't just show up and willy-nilly. They're going to come from a little more of a relationship-oriented perspective. So building the relationship comes before probably having all the details and facts ahead of time. Now, I'll say this because you need to know yourself, number one, and you also need to know who you're meeting with. Because if I'm somebody who's people-oriented and I'm trying to build a relationship with somebody who's task-oriented, I'm going to need to, what, bring more detail. I need to adapt my personality. And I think that's the name of the game, Andressa, knowing thyself and then knowing when to adapt, right? Mm-hmm. And then being able to create, you know, a common intention together. So that may look a little differently to everyone, but you need to kind of meet people in the middle. So if you're a very uninhibited, casual person, you still can present details and you still can bring to the table some details. You may not have a ton of them, but you need to be mindful of the person you're trying to enroll, working with, what have you, right? To then work best. And they should adapt to you accordingly.
Otherwise, you're going to show up looking unprepared. Not that you are, but that's the perceived value, right? Like, okay, are we showing up prepared to it? And on my end, like, okay, I was not prepared to have a half an hour chat about life, about other things in order for us to get to the point, right? But if I understand the other person, I am prepared for it mentally, and I am intentionally being present there and curious about the other person's life as much as they are about mine. But that's intentional. I understand who I am, what I'm bringing to the table, and vice versa. So then we both look prepared versus annoyed and making assumptions that the other person is not showing up their best to the meeting.
I want to say one more thing, that being prepared is a way that you actually respect other people. And obviously, we all define respect very differently. So the intention of the meeting is also really important. If I'm getting together with a friend, I'm not bringing like a 19, you know, bullet point agenda for that friend, right? Unless she's like, hold on. Actually, some of my friends, the ones that we have deep conversations, I actually have a few things I actually want to connect with them about and actually get some feedback on. But the point is to know the goal of the meeting, know the goal of know the intention of what you're about to do. So then your level of preparedness will also be impacted. That also helps me. Okay, what level of detail might I need to be, you know, am I leading the call? Am I not leading the call, right? It all matters. But knowing thyself and then knowing the people you're working with will be a really helpful way to begin that.
And the key is how you show up, how prepared you are, it will reflect everybody that works with you, your internal team, your external team. Once you shift your own way of being and showing up prepared, everybody else will have no other choice but also show up prepared, because that's how you roll, right? So please keep in mind that sometimes it's easier to look at our team members. Oh my gosh, he or she was so unprepared for this call, or we were not prepared for that offer that went out so late. We were not prepared. So the anxiety is a lot, right? But that is a reflection of your leadership. So keep that in mind. Number two, let's go to number two, Liz.
All right, love it.
So successful investors always have a pulse. They're always checking in into their personal and business finances. And you'll be surprised of how many people I know, they actually don't have a pulse on it. And they're savvy investors, but they don't. So that might look super complex and overwhelming for a lot of people. So we're going to give you guys three things, three personal and three business, that we highly recommend you to put in place so you create the habit, that monthly habit of checking those things. So let's start with personal lists.
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
And here's why we recommend personal first. And I want to be very clear, because people are like, why are we talking about the personal? Let's just get to the business. How we do one thing is how we do everything. So if you don't have a pulse on your personal, it usually means that you don't have a pulse in your business. So if you want to clean something up, you have to clean various things up. You really want to have a very good pulse on your personal first, so that that will lend your knowledge base and your, you know, you're kind of getting your stuff together for your business. So that's why it's first. So number one, it's about knowing your credit score. And you say, well, I mean, I have good credit. I can invest. Well, not necessarily, but you need to know where you are. So many people, I always get shocked. They have no idea what their credit score is. And if you're going to be using traditional financing, or quite honestly, private, I've seen people run credit on private lenders have run credit on me and you and you know, our team. So that's important, right? Knowing your credit, and obviously knowing how to, if it's something that you want to improve, and you have to also know what the credit score is of the type of lenders you're looking to do business with. Their requirement might be 600, 700, 500, probably not 500, but you need to know what the requirements are, and you need to know where yours is, and make sure that you are actually working on it if it's something lower than you want it to be. Second thing I'd say is knowing your buying power. And what does that mean? That means knowing what financial resources you have available to invest yourself, and or knowing potentially partners around you that you could be working with as well, in terms of either a private lender or even a partner, right? Going in and working together and buying a property together. Of course, you have to do that legally and make sure you're not just pulling a group of friends together randomly and buying property. You have to be very careful on how you do these things. But the bottom line is you need to know what your buying power is and the buying power of the people around you. And one thing I'll just say quickly on this is that it's not just cash. It could be equity in your house. It could be something like a traditional IRA that needs to get rolled into a self-directed IRA. It could be so many different things in our toolbox that we're not always aware of. I'm using my HELOC right now to invest, right? And HELOC is a line of credit in your own home. So don't dismiss the resources and assets you have around you, not just cash. And the third thing I'd say is, what is your goal in terms of return on your investment? You're saying, well, I want to make money. Who doesn't want to make money? But how much, what is important to you, right? And you want to always, I like to say all the time, is what is the path of least resistance for you? Meaning, what is the number for you that will be your goal? Is it 10%? Is it 12% return on my money? Is it 25%? I don't know your goals. You don't know my goals, but you need to establish what is your goal on your return on your own investment. What would feel really important for you to achieve so that you can move forward? And that's a really critical piece so that you can achieve your personal goals versus, yeah, I want to invest and make money and create a legacy. Okay, great. Everyone else does. But what's specifically for you and your family?
All right. And now let's break down three things that you can do for your business. Number one is recurring income and expenses. So basically, it's what do you need to have coming in and what is usually going out in a monthly basis? What do you need to have in order to keep the lights on, right? I think we underestimate that, because certain things are monthly, other things are quarterly, annually. So you really need to have a sense of like what's your baseline, and understand that those things are going to happen no matter what. Number two is going deeper beyond looking at your bank account balance. You need to understand your P&L. You really do. You're a real estate investor. That's what you do for a living. So really understanding and treating your business as a business is fully understanding your P&L and having conversations with your bookkeeper to adjust. If you're using QuickBooks, how can you adjust and create different types of views that fit your needs? I know I've been customizing a lot of different things because some certain things are important for me and others are irrelevant. So how is presented to me also matters because I really want to understand. And if I need to go deeper, then what is the route to go deeper on that? But you really want to have something in front of you that you understand and it's useful. Then the number three, a lot of people talk about cash flow for their properties and they forget to talk about cash flow for their business. So number three for me is projections. What is projected in regards to my business? Oh, in April, I'm going to have three projects going on where I need to sell some properties or I'm closing on this property. So you need to understand, okay, on this month, I'm having all those expenses and I'm going to have an influx of capital in that month. But then the other month, I have vacancies coming up or construction was delayed. All of that, you kind of need to have a overall view of what's coming up in the next couple of months so you can adjust accordingly and work with a bookkeeper that understands that it can guide you through, not just sending you and inputting data and sending you the link to QuickBooks for you to do the work of interpretation and strategizing. You want to have something on your team that it's seeing things as well and is bringing those perspectives to your attention when needed.
Love it. So let's get to number three. Number three is all about knowing the market like the palm of your hand. And we always like to say that this is about being prepared, right? The whole point of this podcast is about being prepared. You cannot move quickly in today's economy or any economy without knowing the market like the palm of your hand. So what happens is people research and research and research. So the deal's done. The deal's been sold. The deal's been moved on. So that's the reason why knowing the market like the palm of your hand is so important. So you can move quickly in making decisions on deals within the market. So what does that look like, right? We talk about analyzing the market, Andressa, and that can be very big to many people. So I'm going to break it down to two areas, macro and micro, and be very simple with this. Macro is knowing the local economy. What is the job growth? What are people coming to the area? Or are they leaving the area? Very simple stuff. Is there a diversity of jobs in the area? Is there a thriving economy? And those things matter because why does that matter? Because that then follows jobs. People follow jobs, which then impacts your potential tenants, right? So that's one piece of the puzzle. The next piece of the puzzle is knowing the micro piece of it, meaning your asset class. What is the going? What is the ARV? What is the price per door? That is the going rate, if you will, in that particular market, whether it's, a commercial building, whether it's residential. You also want to know what the rental prices are depending on the type of property you're looking at. Is it single family, a multifamily, right? And what is it a renovated multifamily or is it just a multifamily that is 1970s and hasn't been touched since the 1970s? Those are two different rental. You could demand different rent for those products, if you will. That's the pulse piece. Because if you just say multifamily gets this type of rent, but you don't even know what type of multifamily, you don't know what area it's in, you don't know what the economic impact is, you're just making guesses. And that's not knowing the market like the palm of your hand. So those are some key pieces. You could probably talk about analyzing the market, Andressa, all day. So we're not going to do that all day. We wanted to give you some quick tips. And you can join Investor Plus and get access to our Market Master Her ebook. Andressa and I put our heads together with our, 20, 30 years of experience. Well, we're not that old, but together we're 30 years of experience. And we actually have experts in that Market Master Her ebook. And it's all about really, how do you analyze the market? And we go in such granular from the macro to the micro to everything between. So you can really have these tools in your toolbox as you're analyzing any market of what you should be looking at. And what I love about this ebook is that the resources in there, that there's websites for every single thing we're talking about, from analyzing crime, analyzing the job, you know, job growth, et cetera. So you have tons of resources packed into this. You know what I've learned from years of speaking? The right stage doesn't just amplify your message. It builds your credibility. It positions you as a leader people remember. So what sets the top 1% of entrepreneurs apart? Authority. And nothing builds it faster than stepping onto the TEDx stage with over 43 million YouTube subscribers. It is the biggest platform for ideas that spread like wildfire. Leader is making this possible. They're the number one company helping people land TEDx talks with over 650 talks booked for their clients. Want in? Head over to leader.co/events to book your free TEDx strategy session. That's leader.co/events. They'll help you refine your message, create a custom plan, and as a bonus, they'll even guarantee your first 50,000 views. Again, that's leader.co/events, leader.co/events. People, can you get that with Investor Plus? And you can try Investor Plus for 30 days and you'll get all that information in the show notes.
Awesome. Let's go to the fourth, right? And the fourth is one of my favorites. And remember, people, I am task-oriented.
It's your love language.
It's my love language. So like systems and places and things that are making my productivity higher, I'm all about that. So successful investors hate to do repetitive tasks and things that can be automated or made it simple, right? So when you think about those things, you know, for the task-oriented people are like, yes. And then for the people-oriented, they're like, no. But let me make it more doable for all of you. We're not talking about CRMs, workflows, APIs that we need to connect one thing to another and make this complex, right? I'm going to share with you here two things that you guys can do in order to be able to implement it. The number one, it's very simple and you can do it today. Templates for things. For buying a house, for change order with your general contractor, contracts of all types. You can have your application for the tenant. And you might be asking, okay, but how do I know I need a template? Everything that you are doing over and over again needs a template, because then you do it once and you do not need to insert your information over and over again and wasting time. You know what the consequences when you have to create over and over things? You lose the deal, because while you are putting the contract together and sending an offer, somebody else already had the template. They just need to click on a button to send the offer out and change the address and change the offer price, because the terms are already set up over there. Their signature is already there. They just need to complete and send it. That's the difference that we're talking now. And you getting the deal done or not getting the deal done. And if you're frustrated with things around your business, it's because you're wasting a ton of time on repetitive tasks. And if you're not like damn irritated about it, you haven't done a lot in your business to grow and scale. But it's costing time with other people as you're doing things over and over again. You are also not spending time with your family, gardening, or doing other things that you like. So think about that as well.
Absolutely. And that shows up on the other side of systems and processes as women are raising money, right? And they're looking to buy maybe bigger deals or get into a different asset class. Raising money, whether it's lenders or equity partners, is part of the process. And even quite honestly, track records matter with traditional financing. They want to know Traditional financing wants to know your street cred. They want to know your background. So the key then is, what do I have in place that I can share with them? Because I see so many of the women, right, Anjessa, that we see in our community that, oh, I have to pull together a track record because of this particular need. You should have a track record that you can just modify or add upon as you're adding projects to your toolbox, right? And that you're doing more deals. The other part of it is when you're speaking to people, Because sometimes not only in writing do you have like a great PDF, you know, track record, depending the type of lender or partner you're considering. But the other piece of it is when you're actually in conversations in a networking situation and you meet somebody that says, you know, I have no time, but I've always wanted to invest in real estate. I'd love to work with someone to do that. I have so much cash to invest. I just don't have the time. And if you're somebody's like, oh my God, this is a great person I could connect with, but then you don't even know what to say. You don't have any examples.
The right next there, step.
You don't know the
they
next
say,
step.
I can start it today. What do I need to do? Wait, hold on a second.
I don't know what you need to do. Andres and I like to use the term golden stars.
Yes.
When we're speaking, when we're in a meeting. You can't cover everything with everyone. But if I'm going to a networking event and I want to raise money, I'm going to have at least three stories, examples that I can pull in my head, because I have a lot in my head, very simply, if I'm talking to someone who's like my ideal lender. And that's what we're encouraging you to do, is have those, just again, part of being prepared, right? That's part of being, having your shit together.
Yeah. And that's, again, it's a habit. Your Elise mentioned your track record, you're constantly going there and updating it. One advice that I will give it to you is that don't think that more is better. If you overwhelm your track record with a lot of information, people are going to get overwhelmed. They're not going to read it, right? So like large fonts, pictures, system, how you're presenting it, not a lot of paragraphs, how you are presenting it also matters, because you need to convey a point. And if people need to read your life story in your presentation, they're going to be like, oh my goodness.
They don't care where I went to elementary school, Andressa? Oh, that's sad.
Could care less. Right? Could care less.
Three bridges, in case you care. Three bridges, elementary school.
Could care less about the GPA and all the good stuff that we were told that we should have it, right? They yeah. don't care. They care, okay, you had private lenders before. How much did they invest? What was the return? When shit hit the fan, what did you do? All the above. So have it. Have those things over there. If they don't ask you everything that went wrong and how you solve it, that's a great case study. Say, listen, but let me be very clear over here, right? On the risk. And let me tell you a story. And then you tell the story on how you face it. And you're bringing up and bring your credibility to the table. All right, let's go to the final one. It's also one of my favorites. And I think that people don't have an understanding of the impact of not having time management, right? It's a habit. It truly is. And I think that many people undervalue how they're perceived when they don't manage their time. More specifically, if you are growing a real estate business, if you're not able to show up on time and manage your own time, you rest assured you will not be able to manage a project or a larger project and keep everything on budget and on time. Impossible. It's just not on my books. And if you feel differently, show me somebody that always late and running behind and they completed a successful project. I haven't seen it. So, but I don't want to, it's not about shaming people or nothing like that. Okay. What can you do to help yourself? So let's get to that part. Reminders. Everything, my life, you can see my life by opening up my calendar. If it is not on my calendar, it does not exist. Literally. If I don't respond to messages, Liz, you can look at my calendar. You will know where I am. I get abducted or arrested, one or another, because it's in there. So give yourself the freedom to block time. And to have those time management blocks in your calendar, have a calendar link instead of going back and forth with people. What time can you do it? What time can, oh, I cannot do on Tuesday at 2. Can you do it one on, oh, my people, waste of time. No, forget about it. What's your calendar link? send it. Oh, I don't have a calendar link, Lintrusta, because it's expensive, whatever it is. Google schedule. Google schedule. What else? Right? Research it, implement it, send it to people. You have 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and an hour meeting. Not every single meeting needs to be an hour. So you're managing your time appropriately because of the intention of the call. The other thing is your habits, right? And if you haven't read yet, I highly recommend you look at Atomic Habits, because we want to set ourselves up for success when it comes down to habits of associating a habit with another, right? I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm, after that, I need to take my night pill or whatever it needs to be. So one next to the other. And same thing with real estate. Same exactly thing. That's how we roll. Right? The contract needs to be signed, and the contract needs to be on our Google Drive under this folder. It's like the same thing. One thing is associated with the other. Manage your time, and you will see how you will be perceived differently from other people. And many people believe that they have a time problem. I don't have time. I don't have time. I have a lot of things going on in my life. I have a team and we're growing, but I am always overwhelmed. So even if I have calendar reminders and different things, I have a time problem. What would you say to them?
Well, this just happened, right? We were on a mastermind with our mentees, and you said something very eloquent. You said, you don't have a time management problem. You have a role and structure problem. And that really gets to the root cause, because time is something, right? We always say is just, oh, that's the problem. That's the problem. We all have 24 hours. Let's be very frank, right? Mother Teresa had 24 hours. Everyone has, I love her. Everyone has just the same amount of time. What the difference is are we trying to do everything ourselves? And as we, right, got into that discussion with one of our mentees, Strive mentees, it really was revealed that she was doing it all in terms of acquisitions by herself. And she had two partners. So the recommendation was, okay, what is your role? What are their roles? Talk about that. And then you could talk about time is like the last thing. It's not actually the real issue, right? We always say time, it's not the real issue. The other thing I want to add to what you said too was two words that pop into my head in terms of time is importance and urgency. We not everything has the same level of importance. Not everything has the same level of urgency. And so what you're always trying to hedge, right? You're trying to hedge, you're trying to mitigate your risk. Well, this is hedging your time of what is important, not urgent, because those are going to grow your business. What's important, I have to get it done today. What ends up happening, right? And just that everyone makes everything equal importance and everything's urgent. And that's called being reactive. And if you play that game, you're not going to grow your business, quite honestly. You have to be in the offense. And the way to do that, right, is taking that time for yourself. What you're saying too, Andres, is what's important to me? What do I really need to accomplish? Can someone else do that? Can I automate something, right? What are the reminders I need to set up for myself? These are all proactive things that we do or working on ourselves and our business, right, versus being reactive.
And I encourage all of you to schedule your emergencies. You're like, what the hell?
What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
What the hell? What did she drink this morning? Listen, I listened to books and different things. I don't remember, quite honest, where I got that from. Like scheduling your emergencies is to give yourself buffers. Mm-hmm. Give yourself times that you do not have things going on. And one thing that I did it and I block it. Those are emergencies. If I don't have those blocks, I am just expecting that everything on my calendar works out. And guess what? It doesn't. Every week, there's something that needs to be pushed further, or, oh my gosh, I had to spend much more time over here than over there. And then at the end of the week, if I don't have this buffer time for myself, right? Those were emergencies that I didn't know. But since I do have those block times scheduled for emergencies, I am able to catch up and restructure myself. And you're like, oh my gosh, Andres, I'm so overwhelmed. I highly recommend you to take a deep breath. First of all, it's a lot that we share with you today, and you can listen to it again and take some steps further. But drop the anchor. I know who said that. It's Oprah. So overall, it says that if you get overwhelmed, not sure what direction to take in your business, drop the anchor and stop and do nothing until you get super clear on what are the next steps. So if everything that we were saying here, you resonate with and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of work that I need to do. Great. Start with number one. And then you go to the other pieces. I hope this was very helpful to you. And those are all habits that you can duplicate, right? I cannot duplicate people's personalities and all their charisma, but you can duplicate their habits. So we compile this to support you on creating those successful habits. And if you keep showing up, there's no other way but you to achieve your goals. So thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.